stand up and greet one another and give one another a big holy kiss and hug and and say how wonderful you're looking today on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Wonderful. Well done, everyone. If I give you an arm, you take a leg. I see it, eh? That's wonderful to see the family of God who loves one another. And that's what it's about. You are God's family. You are His body. And He loves us. And this is such a precious opportunity to be able to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to pray first before we delve into God's Word as He wants to encourage us today. Father, we just thank You for this glorious day. We've prayed much and we've given much thankfulness to You. But again, we want to say thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us and raising Him from the dead. Lord, we glorify You and give You honor and praise for all that You've done for us. We cannot pay You back. We cannot pay You back. But You call us to believe and be thankful. And we are thankful and grateful and give You all the praise and the glory. And Lord, as You want to speak to us by Your Holy Spirit this morning, I ask that You would talk to us, that You would open up our hearts, our minds, to receive what You are saying to us today now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the world, there's an information overload. There's so much coming at you that you can't take it in. How many of you are on WhatsApp? All of you, I hope. But how many of you read all your WhatsApp messages? I can't see a hand. Oh, Ray does. You can't get too many, Ray. I just know it's information overload. And they send this video, and they send this, and you can spend your whole life, and it can actually rob you social media. I even want to warn you, be careful of Facebook. Wonderful medium to contact and to be in connection with one another. But you know what? You can spend so much time on that. I was even thinking yesterday, and I was actually apologizing to the Lord and say, Lord, if I spend more time praying than actually working with my social media, how much more effective will I be? Not wanting to be in that, because that's how we communicate, and we communicate with one another. But you know, we are driven by the thing. When that red little light comes on, or the number comes on, I've got to go and find out what that's saying. Am I right? Who is driven by that? Sometimes I am, and right. But what I'm saying, and I'm trying to bring to you today, is that brought out in this morning's message, when Jesus walked with His disciples onto the road to Emmaus, they couldn't understand what was happening. And Jesus, it says there in the scriptures, Jesus opened up their minds that they could understand the scriptures. This is a spiritual thing. When the Word of God is preached, you cannot comprehend it with the flesh. It's a spiritual dimension. You need God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal truth to you. You're unable to do it yourself. It's only when God takes the Scriptures and reveals it to you. And I'm asking you today, because so often in the preaching, there's so much that's been said, but you've got to be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It's like in daily readings, when you do your daily readings, there's so much stuff that you're reading through there, but there's a highlight that comes through where God actually speaks to you and you know it's pertinent to you. And for every one of you, it's different today. Every single one of you, it's different. And I'm asking you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today and grasp that, take hold of that, and live it. Because there might be just one little thing. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, He is risen and I'm risen in you. And you meditate on that thing and you start to live with the reality that Christ is in you and He's alive. That's just a thought that I have. And we should have that. Because if today is just a meaningless time, and you've come here today to do the right thing, well done. But you've come to be renewed, your mind to be renewed, that God can start to work His miracle of what He's completed on the cross and Resurrection Sunday here today. So I wanted to just encourage you, be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. So the title of the message today, He is Risen. And the important thing is today is that it's a great, great celebration today. We must never forget the cross, and we must never forget God's power, our Father, that was exerted to raise Him, you and I, to life. It's an incredible thing. We can go through the whole process and understand the story, but the reality of the resurrection is such a key thing. And I apologize, I've mentioned to you before, but the early church was broken up into the Eastern Church and was broken up into the Western Church. And the Western Church was founded in Roman Catholicism in Rome. And what was the focus of the Western Church? It was the cross. And today you will see with Roman Catholicism, it's still all about the cross. And we cannot have life if it wasn't for the cross. But the Eastern Church, what did they focus upon? It was founded in Constantinople. The church grew out of that. And you see in the East, in the Russians, and that whole sort of area, focused on the resurrection. Who's got it right? I think the East has got it right. We need to focus on the resurrection because there's death on the cross, but we want life, eternal life, and God exerted life on a dead Christ and raised you and I to life. And I want to say to you, that's an important thing that God has done. He's done that. He's brought life to us. You know, the thought is that He died on the cross and there was death, but there was life too, even on the cross. That separating the curtain that separated the holy, most holy place from God's people or from creation was split from the top to the bottom. And you know, that was prophetically done with Israel. God delivered Israel out of Egypt miraculously through the Passover lamb, set them free, that they would be able to be free. And then He separated the Red Sea that they could walk across into God's promises. Isn't that incredible? That was a prophetic picture, what Christ would do on the cross. Deliver us out of darkness and separate the curtain that we can go into the most holy place. Isn't that incredible? And then He gives us eternal life. So this is a message of hope. It's something incredible that we need to understand, and we need to be living a daily basis in the resurrection and the resurrection power that comes by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Interesting here, Paul, talking to the Romans here, he says, don't believe that Jesus was crucified, because that's a fact. That is documented in history, that was beyond a shadow of a doubt, that no one denies Jesus being crucified. But Him being raised is a different story. If you were down at the dam this morning, God never gave us the sun initially, He gave us the mist. And Mark just shared with us, it was a prophetic picture that God is hidden. And it takes faith to believe. You can't see the sun, but it was there. It had risen. He had risen, but we had to believe. And same, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've got to believe that God raised Him from the dead. Otherwise, you are more to be pitied than anyone else. If you believe in a dead Savior, you are to be pitied. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. My son's laughing at me. Because I'm passionate about the living Christ. Because we don't serve a dead God. He's alive. And you know what? The wonderful thing in Galatians, it says that we died with Him. And He came to live inside of us. And you might not feel that, you might not know that, but you should be jumping this morning because this is the power of the cross. He's alive in us. No longer dead. He's alive in us. And it's not only about where we're going, but He's alive in us today. All the other great religions of the earth that are out there, there is no one like Jesus that was raised from the dead. That's why there's such controversy that where the Roman Empire tried to prove and the Pharisees tried to prove, he's dead, and they bribed people and they corrupted the soldiers, he's dead. They wanted to keep him dead because they knew if he rose from the dead, there would be chaos. Take the authority away from them. But Jesus rose from the dead. And the scripture tells us it was for 40 days he walked on the earth in his resurrected state, in his new body, and he appeared to so many, to the 500, to the disciples, to many he appeared to reveal who he was. Has Muhammad or Buddha or Krishna or any cult leaders appeared once they have died? They haven't. But Jesus is alive and he is risen. And I come to encourage you with that good news today. And as I was preparing, I just sensed the Lord not to go to a traditional text today, but I go to the text, and I'd like you to get into your Bibles from John chapter 14, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 7. Because we have the living Christ, and I believe the Lord wants to encourage us today about as we walk out our lives before Him. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7, and I read, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And these are the profound words that have been echoed through the centuries, the words of Jesus. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen, you know him and have seen him." So I come with this text to encourage us of the reality as Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death and their future to follow him. And I think that's a key thing today, is that even though Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, there's an aspect of how do we go forward subsequent to the resurrection of our Lord. So firstly, the Lord says to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. The disciples were troubled at the death of their Lord. They were perplexed. They went into depression. They went into hiding. They were denying the truth. They got troubled. And you know, we live in a time now where we are in troubled times. You might not think, and it's a wonderful day and there's glorious, but there's trouble. Not only in South Africa, throughout the world, there's trouble. Things that are happening right around the world. You know, if you read your newspapers or reading your news, what's happening in North Korea is dangerous stuff. That thing could trigger a worldwide war. That simple thing that's taking place. We live in troubled times, but Jesus comes to his disciples at that time, and he comes to you now, his disciples, and he says, don't be troubled. Don't be fearful. Don't be worried. Don't get foolish. Don't let the devil intimidate you in the world. You're no longer of this world. And I want to encourage you today is that there's some truth. You need to know the scriptures, how to get rid of worry and fear. If I see some of the big things that face Christians today and those that are following the Lord, they don't know how to deal with fear and worry. They always live in a perplexed state. They're always looking in, if God will come through, and they're wanting their circumstances to change. I'm telling you now, God has given us some truths how to live and say, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, we know that. With prayer and petition, make your requests known to God with thankfulness, and the peace of God will come and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know how to live in troubled times? Why is this National Day of Prayer, or Angus calling this Day of Prayer the next Saturday? We are in troubled times. Because we know the answer is not betoging, protesting. We know the answer is prayer. And we're going to be praying together, and we're getting together. And I'm calling you, every single one of you, to be at that prayer meeting. If you can't get to Bloemfontein, I'm calling you to come next Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. As we stand together and we pray and we believe our God, because that's how we sort our hearts out. It's not only just for the nation, it's for us. Because we're trusting in our God and we want to see Him come through. So deal with our fear in our own hearts. You might be going through difficulty. The economy is not great at the moment. Do you know that? It's tough. And you might not have the amount of money that you had before, and you might be going through difficulties. How do you deal with financial difficulty? You pray. You cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. You allow Him to be Lord in this time. Don't let fear and worry get into your heart. The devil wants you to do that, but God doesn't want you. God wants you to be at peace and know He's totally in control. And that will come. And if you know that you are troubled at this point in time and you can't deal with that, we would love to pray with you. That we can cast those cares upon the Lord and enable Him to walk in peace. I'm not saying always God changes your circumstances. If I've seen how God actually works in a life, He doesn't come with a magic wand, sweep, sweep, take the thing away and all things normal. He doesn't do that. He comes and He gives us courage. He gives us strength. And He says, let's climb this mountain together. That you can overcome. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that more powerful than just sweep, sweep, and you walk? Because you've never grown. You've got to see the redemptive power of God. When troubled times come, don't be troubled. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And the antidote that the Lord actually gives to us, He says, trust in God, trust also in Me. That's a weakness we have, because we don't always want to trust in Him. We want to trust in ourselves. We think we're MacGyvers. Ons kan reg maak. Hey, Louis. We can fix this problem. I'm telling you now, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to trust Him. But also hear what God is also saying is that He wants the wisdom and the power to be evident. We need a wisdom to get out of things and work things out. In these troubled times, we need to be praying for wisdom and to be hearing God's voice and what God is saying to us and do what He tells us to do. In my daily readings this week, it was about Joshua and they conquering the promised land. But then the Gibeonites came, and they came with their saddlebags filled with stale bread, and they looked like decrepit. And they were compassionate to them, and they made a treaty with them because they didn't want to be destroyed by the Israelites. But the thing behind that was Israel and Joshua never went and consulted with the Lord to say, who are the Gibeonites and what was their intentions? The only reason they came like that was to deceive the Israelites, to make a treaty with them that they wouldn't be destroyed. But they were meant to be the enemies and they were meant to be destroyed by the Israelites. The fault of the Israelites was they never consulted God. I'm guilty. I don't always take everything to the Lord in prayer. Now, what I mean by taking to the Lord in prayer, actually going to Him and waiting upon Him to hear what He is saying in those things. Now, it's not everything, what shoes should I wear or what clothes should I wear for the day. Ladies, I think it's good to talk to God about those things because husbands aren't always responsive. Sorry, Nikki. I don't always see what you're dressing. God does. But take the thing to the Lord, inquire of the Lord about the situation and let Him give you the knowing what to do. By example, why does God give us traffic lights? To prevent accidents from happening so we can get order in the traffic. The same thing in life. The Holy Spirit is our guide and leads us. And we need His traffic light in our lives. And what are the signals on a traffic light? Red, amber, and green. When it's red, what do? The taxi says go. Don't they? Haven't you seen that lately? Red means go. But with God, when it says red, you stop. But when it's green, you go. And what do you do when the amber? You race to get across the traffic light. That's what the book teaches us. It teaches us, walk, I stop, slow down. And that's the same thing in the decisions that we have in life. When things come across our path, God is leading us all the way. And if you have the knowing and you know that it's not right, stop. Not a problem. There's plenty of time. Stop. And if he gives you that freedom and peace in your spirit, go. Otherwise, wait. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. There's plenty of time. We don't always have to do things. And you know, and I want to encourage you. I remember learning as a baby Christian to learn to listen to this inner witness. And when you start to learn in your inner witness and be led by the Holy Spirit, you will make your way successful. He will guide you. I was just sharing with Mark the other day, there was a shoe salesman in the Depression times, and he learned to rely on his inner witness, trusting in God. And he would rely upon with every decision that he had to make for business. So when he started out, he would go and ask God, and his closet would be in another place, and he would hear, and if he had a sense of yes, he would make the deal. If he had a sense of no, he wouldn't make the deal. And God made him successful. And eventually when he built his little empire and he had his office, he built another room next to it. And that was his prayer closet. So he would come and transactions would take place. And he would say to the guys, I can't make a decision now. I've got to go and talk to my boss. And it would be his prayer closet. And he would go into his prayer closet with our God. And when the Lord told him yes, no, he inquired of the Lord, trusting in God. And he became a very, very successful businessman. And we can't always do it in our own strength. God doesn't want us to do it in our own strength. And yet Jesus comes to us. He says, trust in God and trust also in me. And the Lord will test you in this. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to. Because that's what he wants us to be, dependent upon him. He doesn't want us to be independent. If you are independent and you have an independent spirit, be careful. Be careful. God doesn't want you to be that. You can be independent, but you can make yourself dependent upon him. Turn your ways and say, Lord, I am going to trust you. I'm going to consult with you. I'm going to lean upon you. And you'll be absolutely surprised what will take place. Because the scripture says, trust in God, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. Paths. Not just path, paths. He will make your paths straight. That's in all the affairs of your life. Your marriage, your finances, your vocation, your sporting activity, every asset of your life, aspect of your life, he will make your life straight. So as Jesus said to his disciples, I say to you again this morning, trust in God and trust also in me. In Psalm verse 37, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So sometimes when we trust in the Lord, we think we're just going to be inactive. I want to just say, continue to do good. Continue to love God and continue to love your neighbor as you love yourself. One of the most successful things that you can ever do in your life is loving God and loving others. If you can purpose to do that, you'll be a very, very, very successful person. Because in God's eyes, you are pleasing him in every single way. If you are living to make money and get bigger possessions, whoa, 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 be careful. Whoa. Love God. Love God and love others. And then you'll see how God will open up the wonder of his grace to you. The next point is, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. The NIV says there are many rooms. The Amplified said there are homes. And I believe there's homes that God has gone to prepare for us. I was reading, the Lord just reminded me of that book by Chu Thomas, Heaven is So Real, and God just took it with revelation and took it into heaven and revealed what is in the other side, where we go from this life to the next life. And the Lord showed her a whole bunch of mansions and homes that he's... I don't know why this is dying all the time. So God has prepared houses for our next life. Why do so many people that die never come back? Because it's better there. It's fantastic there. And they don't want to come back here. You know, they love you. Come back here. And I want to encourage us. God, in his wonder and his grace, he's prepared a better place for us. And there's homes, and there's the glory of God, and there's the presence of God. There's things unthinkable ahead of us in glory for every one of us. But work out your life here. Don't just live for heaven. Work out here. You've got to have a testimony of Christ. You've got an opportunity to preach the gospel. Because let me just tell you, when you get to heaven, you will not pray again. Because you will see the living God. You will not have to exercise faith again. Because you will see God. You don't have to exercise faith in him. You will not have to believe for your daily means. God has provided for you, because that's heaven. Everything is provided. You don't have to work out anything anymore. You've got your salvation in the fullness. This is the lacquer place. This is the place to work it out. This is the place to push through, because this is where you get the reward for there. Follow your Lord and do what he tells you to do. He says nextly that I will come back and take you to be by myself. Isn't that incredible? That God's prepared a place and we're going back to be with him. We're not going to a distant land and never see him. We're going to see the hope of our salvation. We're going to see and be with our Lord. Now, I don't know what your theology is, but I do believe there's two aspects where God's going to be coming back. Firstly, I believe there's the rapture of the church. And I don't know when that is, but Thessalonians talks about it. When the trumpet call comes, the church will be raptured. And Jesus even talks about it, that one will be left behind. And the other will be gone. At the kneading trough, one will stay, one will be gone. And I do believe there's a time when God said, that's enough, I'm bringing my people home. The church will be raptured. I do believe that's a principle that we see in Scripture. But then there's the final judgment, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he comes not as Savior, but he comes as the judge to judge mankind. And we will stand before him and he will judge us. And I want to just trust for every one of us when we get home, because I do believe there's a reward for us, that the Lord will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. That commendation that we'll get from God is not about the physical things that we will receive and the homes and the kingdoms that God has got for us. But the Lord will say to us, as we've served him, well done, good and faithful servant. And I hope that's for every one of you. Because there's the working out of our salvation, is that you don't live for yourself. You've lived for your God, and you've done everything that he's told you to do. And he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not because of the position that you have. It's your obedience to him. And I'm asking you to be obedient to your Lord. Don't disobey him. Do everything that he tells you to do. And I'm telling you, that is a difficult road to walk. Do what he tells you to do. Listen to what he's saying to you, because that's why the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we need to be led. And being led by the Lord demands our obedience. When the Israelites weren't obedient, God got angry with them. And we're given free choice. Every single one of you have a choice in life to obey or to disobey. You have a choice in life to choose life or death. And I want to encourage you here today. Jesus puts that before us today. Let's live life. Also, I just want to give you encouragement. This is not the end, this part of earth. We've got a heaven before us. And 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, from the New King James Version. And I want you to have that insurance, because many are going around and saying there's a holding place. You don't go directly to be with the Lord. I want to just encourage you, when you close your eyes and the Lord calls you home, and we don't determine our days, he determines our days, from absent from the body, immediately you're with your God. Immediately, because it's a spiritual thing. Your body remains, but you go to be with your Lord. So I want to encourage you, we have a glorious homecoming, every single one of us. The next point is, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And there Thomas said, Lord, I don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Because, you know, when we go on a journey, we've got to have a passport, we've got to have money, we've got to work out the travel arrangements, we've got to have our bags, all our inoculations. But Jesus wasn't talking about that, because we're going to a place that is known by him, and he is the way. Have any of you ever been lost? And your oaks, the men today, do you ever ask how to get out of it? They don't. Men don't. We got Garmin and we know the way and we got the coordinates and don't tell us where we're going. We must apologize to our wives. Many, many years ago, I was in Amsterdam, and I don't know if you've ever been to Amsterdam. It's a very confusing place to be in because there's canals everywhere. So I thought, I'm going to use my best Afrikaans, and I'm going to ask someone how to get out of this place, and we had to get to this. So I said, this gentleman came past me, and I said, I'm in this place, and I said, hierdie plek, and ek wil na die plek toe gaan asseblief. And he turned in his proper English. He said, well, you just go down this road, and the left and the right, and there you go. The Dutch speak English, which was incredible. But we got to ask for directions, and who's the one we can find direction from? The Holy Spirit, and He directs us to our Lord. And sometimes those directions aren't always easy to follow, but I want to encourage you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And He is the roadmap. In the message, it says, I am the road. The road that we need to follow, the way. And we can only come to the Father and come to the Father's house through me. And I know this is a very difficult scripture because many of humanism out there today are saying there is many ways to God. You can go through Buddhism, you can go through Taoism, you can go through Hinduism, you can come to God. But I want to just say to you with gentleness in my heart, there is no other way. It's only through Jesus because He's the only one that's paid the price for sin and death. The other ways haven't. They have a semblance that they are serving God, but they are deceived. And I'm not saying that with antagonism or ugliness. I do it out of love because we need to go and tell them the truth. The Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus need to hear the truth. And that's why we got a gospel to go and preach, because Jesus is the only way to the Father's house. And you see, many folk have get to that fork in the road, and I really do believe, and we've all been in that position, is a decision to make which way to go. And I remember we were doing a trip up into Burundi. We were actually in Tanzania, and we were traveling from a place called Kigoma to some place at midnight. And when we were going through these little villages, and they had a pole across the road, and they pulled the pole across the road, and we went through the villages, and then we were in the middle of nowhere. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We were in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have a map. In those days, you didn't have GPS to go and look, actually find out where you were. And we were in the fork in the road. And we didn't know where to go. If this went this way, we didn't know where we were going. If we went this way, we didn't know where we were going. But we know where we wanted to go. And at 2 o'clock, we prayed and said, Lord, show us where to go. 2 o'clock in the morning, a man pops out the bush. And we had a guy with us, Lesson Monyoza. He could speak Swahili. And he spoke to him and he said to him, where do we go? Oh, no, you go, take this road. Take this road. This is where you need to go. And many, many people are in the fork of the road and they don't know where to go. And it's easy to go to the left or to the right and we don't know which way to go. And we need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are the guide sometimes to people, to point them to Jesus. He is the way to the Father. He's the only way. And I want to encourage you, make sure you follow in that right road that God has for you. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you can be a good person, you can be wise, you can be intelligent, you can have all the degrees in all the world. You can have all the money in the world. You can be the president of America. If you don't come to Jesus, you will not come to the Father. The next point, Jesus says, I am the way. You have to follow Him. He's the road, the path. There's no other way to the tree of life. Jesus paid the price for sin. As Adam and Eve took away the tree of life, Jesus opened up the way through His body and His blood that we might receive His mercy and His grace. Jesus is the way. And I want to just say to you, many Christians get snared with this thing because they don't always believe that Jesus is the way. They start to follow other doctrines. they start to fill up and they start to mix Christ with many other things. They start to mix Christ with worldly principles and humanism. They start to mix Christ with the old Hebrew roots. They mess up. They commingle their gospel. You've got it. The only way is Jesus. And I want to just say to you, check yourself, because as you do an audit on yourself, make sure Jesus is your only way. I've had to check that, because it gets more and more difficult as you get older in the Lord, because you can fall back into your old ways. And I want to encourage you, measure yourself against Christ. He is the only way. He's the only way. You've got to measure your gospel. I might be getting off the point here. You've got to discover the gospel. No one else can. We can preach the gospel to you, but you've got to discover what the gospel is yourself. And that's got to be a revelation that's got to come by God, the Holy Spirit. Can I make a statement here? When God called us to plant this church, I thought I knew the gospel. It's only when I started to preach it and I had to stand here and have a conviction that I actually find out what the gospel is. And you might be sitting here today and you actually don't know the gospel. You've heard about Jesus and you know about him and you're following him, but do you know this gospel? And only the Holy Spirit can show you its fullness. I want to just point to it, is found in Christ. Nothing else, nothing less. Its fullness is found in Christ. He is everything. He is the way. And if you're not going through that door, you might be deceived. Can we get deceived? You can. You can. Every one of us can be deceived. We've all got circumstances. We've all grown up in different things. We might have the wrong doctrine. And I'm not here to point fingers at you, but I wanted to say Jesus Christ is the way. You've got to go through him. He is the way. No other way. Not to the left, not to the right. Christ. Only him. He is the way. He said, I am the truth. And the Greek for the word truth actually means reality. He meets the desires of every human person, of every human mind. He takes us out of darkness and he brings us to light. You see, when we read about Israel, Israel was pointed to God through the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, as we know, the types and figures there. But they have a blur, they have a veil. They can't see the truth. It was only to be taken away through Christ. As the veil was split, there's something in that too. The murkiness went and the truth was seen. The reality could be seen, the reality of who God is. Do we love Israel? Absolutely. Do we love the Jews? Absolutely. But they need Jesus. Israel needs to be saved. Because Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, came for Israel first. For the Jews. And they need to accept him and believe that he rose from the dead too. That's why we must pray, not only for Israel, but for every nation, for every person to receive Christ, because he is the way and the truth. And if you want to know truth, trust Jesus. Oh, never get sidelined. You know, the Bible is full of correction, and the book in Galatians actually talks about the Galatians who started to commingle the truth of the gospel with Hebraic roots, Judaism. They started to put Judaism back into Christianity. And Paul comes and says to them, who has bewitched you? Who's brought evil again into your hearts? Because he wanted them to be free. So I want to just say today is, it must be Christ. He is the way, the truth. And then he says, I am the life. Whoever believes in life, in Christ, has eternal life. He brings pardon. He brings spiritual life and holiness. He brings surety of the new covenant. He brings resurrection life. Who abides in Christ finds out that he's the vine and we are the branches, and in him we will bear much fruit. Maybe for a bit of homework as you go away from today, go and read John 15 again. Abide in Christ. I love the King James. Abide. There's something in the fullness of finding your fullness. If I can recommend a book, there's a book by Andrew Murray about abiding in Christ. Revelation. Finding our life in Christ. You don't just exist, you find your life in Christ. And if you start to delve into that and understand the revelation of who Christ is, this is profound. God wants to renew our minds. We cannot settle for anything but Christ. If there's a message of the cross and the resurrection, it's Christ. It didn't stop there. It continued in Him today. And I want to encourage you to grow in Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then I want to just pick up quickly. Sally mentioned it in the prophecy. To follow Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to follow Him. Why did He say to His disciples, wait? Wait in Jerusalem until that day of Pentecost. Even though He ascended, He said, wait until the Holy Spirit is poured out and they receive the power of God the Holy Spirit so they could live in Christ and they could follow Christ. And if you are living in any other state, you might not know that Christ is in you and you know the reality of that, but if you're living in your own power, you're going to fall short of the mark. You won't be able to do this thing because it's a supernatural thing. God has given us His power. And Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Christians, you don't have to initially be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit that you can live the reality of knowing Christ. If maybe Christ has become dim in your life, maybe there seems to be a veil over you that He's not a reality to you. Yes, you love Him and you follow Him, but He's not a reality. Maybe you need some more power. That the Holy Spirit and the reality of the person of God, the Holy Spirit, will just open up Christ again to you and you'll begin to walk in the reality of who He is. This is Christianity, folks. Knowing that Christ lives in you. Colossians 1:27, Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. You need to find your gospel. You need to find Christ. You need to follow Christ. You need to know that He's your way, your truth, your life. No other way. And when you know Him in that, you'll know the Father. You won't have to look for the Father. You'll know Him because you've known Christ. Jesus says, whoever seen Me or knows Me knows the Father. This is an incredible truth. And this is the hope I really believe on Resurrection Sunday. May I pray with you? And if you're in this place today, as every eye is closed, and this is not to bring condemnation, but this, if you're in this place today, and you don't know Christ as the reality in your life, and you want to grow deeper, and you want to know Jesus in the fullness of who He is, I'm asking you to put your hand up that you might receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that God the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to you. I cannot, but God the Holy Spirit's role is to bring glory to Christ and to reveal Him to His people, and He wants to do that for you. It's His task, His love. He wants to do that. And if that's you today, you want to walk closer and understand Christ and allow God the Holy Spirit to do that, I'm asking you to just put your hand up and put it down. I want to pray for you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Now, if you put your hand up, you can put it down, but I want you to stand in faith and believe. And believe. And Father, as those hands have been raised and heads are bowed here, Lord, I ask that You would pour Your Spirit out now. You're the baptizer, You're the one that brings the infilling, that You would fill them with Your Spirit now. And Lord, that You bring revelation, knowledge, and wisdom to know You and to know the reality of the statement that You made, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us, Father, will You reveal this gospel to us. May we know Christ. May we know the fullness of Christ. May we know and understand You, Lord, in our everyday life. And may we live in You and find this resurrection power that You've given us to live an abundant life, an overcoming life, a life that will bring glory to You, that will be ambassadors of Christ, and that the people will see Jesus and the fullness of who You are, Lord, in our lives. So thank You, Father, for this Resurrection Sunday where we're declaring that You are risen. But thank You for Jesus that's alive. And Lord, not only are you alive and ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father, you are ruling and reigning in our hearts. And as we go from this day, Lord, to enjoy it with family and friends, may the reality of you be in our hearts, Lord. And may we draw closer to you. May we know the profound revelation of Christ in every one of our lives now. So, Lord, will you bless us as we follow you now? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You are loved. God loves you. We love you. And for those that are new amongst us, there's cappuccinos. Not long today. There's no tea and coffee soon, but there are cappuccinos today. God bless you. If you are traveling, be safe, and we'll see you next Sunday. Just remember, next Sunday is a family service, and we're going to be showing Furious Love, and it's going to run a bit longer than normal, so we should be finishing with 11, 10 past 11 around there next week. So God bless you all. It's going to be fantastic. God bless you all. Amen.